Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Mark and Heidi, the Other D'Amelios. I'm Mark, and Heidi's eating right now. So when she's finished, she will, I'm sure, say a few words to everyone. But I'll take this part over right here whenever you're ready, huh? Look, I get it. You got to get your meals in. But we, you know, the podcast doesn't stop for a little hunger pain. Got to keep it moving.
You know, Mark.
Oh, look at
when
you.
When you're eating cleanly. Is that a word? You get hungrier more often. And I had a big breakfast, but wow. Here we are. I got hungry. We were here for a while, so. Hi, I'm Heidi. I'm so happy
to be
here.
I'm intermittent fasting. I don't even know what that means, but I intermittent fast between meals. But I happen to have a meal every 2 hours.
Okay, I see
don't think that's what it means.
I think it's that's different.
All right, so we're going to talk about PR, aka public relations.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
So I had a publicist when I first started my clothing company because I wanted to get information out there. It was a different time, people. It was a much different time. 20 years ago, the only way you can get real publicity was to do advertising. There wasn't YouTube. There wasn't any
social media.
And so what the publicist would do is they would kind of sit and brainstorm and talk about what's going on with your business. And then they would reach out to all the different magazines and newspapers and kind of conjure up some stories, not make things up, take things that were pretty interesting and highlight them a little bit. And I got a lot of really cool press back then, mm-hmm. from Inc. magazine to articles that I'm still really proud of that were pretty cool, but it was definitely the publicist coming in and looking at our business. And so I'm a big believer in a publicist. As I say that, one of the things I don't like about what we do and being in the public eye is you have to think of every single word that comes out of your mouth. While I'm saying these words that are coming out of my mouth right now, I'm making sure that, not that I'm not going to say anything that I think is going to be hurtful to people. I just want to make sure that what I'm trying to say isn't misunderstood. And I think that happens a lot. And I hate that. I wish that you can't just say what's on your mind. And if you ruffle some feathers, you say, my bad, I'm sorry, and you move on. It kind of stays with you a while, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I know. I think about those people that will say or do anything, and I'm like, they just don't care, or they're just, that's their brand maybe. But I do think about their publicists.
We used to drive our management and publicists pretty crazy early on, because I was always saying, we're not going to change for everybody.
Be a little more, I don't even know what. I don't even know. I can't even think. But I remember like almost just wanting us to make it look a certain way better than, More polished, I guess that's a word.
I think that's probably.
Like, but we're not. Like, we don't know what we're doing. We are trying to figure it out, and we don't want to act like we know. Like that, so we're just going to keep it real like that.
The tough part is, I think people, the general public, wants to get to know a person in their truest form, and I want people to know me in my truest form, but with that, they'll take something small and run with it and have it define you sometimes. So you're sitting there like, and sometimes the slip of the tongue isn't worth it. So you end up frigging looking.
Or what about even like, how the four of us joke around together, me, you and Dixie and Charlie,
yes.
Like that we have done that. And people are like, oh, you're so mean to your kids, or you like this one more than that one. Like, so ridiculous that we have to get PR involved. I'm like, how is this even a thing right now? And if people would really see, like, I think in the bloopers they posted, it shows a lot more of like the silly side of us and just how our kids are funny. And it's like, after, like, now that they're getting older, like, their humor is just getting even more and more quick, and they just, but we can take it. Like, right. That's just how we joke around. And we're
my friends say that they don't think I come across the right, they don't think I come across like me on the show and the show or in social media in general. And I want to do more of that. I think this podcast probably gets
more of us,
more of us. And I think as I get more comfortable, and if we decide to do a second season of the show, I definitely want to put it out there, because we did the show so people could get an understanding of who we are. And I think I think for the first season, the girls got the point across that, like, look, this is, although this is everybody's dream, there is some negativity behind it. And I think if we decide to do a second season, we'll definitely show more of the lighthearted stuff. But you're right, but that bloopers reel was the like, I'm like, we should do a show just like that, because that's just really what it's like in our house.
But the thing is, I mean, yeah, at the time it was definitely highs and lows, and more of the intense stuff was shown. But at the same time, that was what was happening in our world at that time. And yes, there was a lot of like intense emotional stuff going on. So that during that time was probably not, I mean, obviously we had some fun and there was a lot of positivity and good, great things going on, but it was a heavy time for our family and helping the kids go through that. And so, I mean, I get why it turned out the way it did, and we're all happy with it. Like, I think we can all agree that we were happy with it, but there are, even during that time, but there was a lot of fun. And
but
like,
I still
silliness.
Think about that. If you used a 100% number, I still think that even though we're learning having all these new experiences and it was COVID and everybody was on their phone and everybody was hyper-focused on the girls, I still think it was probably 70 to 80% good times,
yeah,
and 20%. And
well, know, as a mom, I feel like when you have those heavy times with your kids, when your kids are going through something, that just sticks with in your heart. So it does seem more than, you know,
yeah,
like it's so emotional, and you're so, you know, kind of when you don't know what to do to help and you're trying to figure that out, that stays with you. So
right.
I feel like that, although I know I'm smart enough to know, I know that wasn't the majority of our life, but it feels so heavy.
Yeah.
And it feels so good because they've come so far and it's not heavy like that anymore. Like, it's few and far between where they have days like that. So.
Right. And even though the show was a documentary and it was unscripted, it's still, you're filming. So you just couldn't walk with a camera crew down the street. There's all mm-hmm. kinds of rules. And we would come home after a really fun night that we had such a blast. And the next day we would say to Sarah, who was a showrunner. Oh man,
you should have.
You missed last night. It was so much fun. And she's like, I wish I was there, but they just couldn't get.
Yeah.
They couldn't get the permits. So I think hopefully, if we do season two, they'll get to see. And I think the girls want to show that side too. It is a different time that we're filming the show 9 months ago.
Yeah.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
I will say there are things that I think my public persona is much different than who I am, and I would love to work on that. Like, there's sometimes I'll say something, and like, I am very sarcastic. I'm also extremely compassionate, and I get sad and sensitive of things, and people wouldn't like, I cry. I do. I get like, I can see something and it gets me really emotional. Things tug at my heartstrings, and I think that people think we're a lot more calculated and a lot tougher than we actually are. I do think I set up my life to just kind of enjoy it and have fun and understand that life is short. And it just I don't come across that way in my public persona. And I don't necessarily have thought about it enough to say, okay, well, I'm going to start doing more TikTok videos telling this or more of YouTube videos to showing that.
Going back to the show, and it was a documentary of what was happening at the time. And it's like, you know, there were so many positive and fun things going on too, but it's like, and people asked about that, like, well, why didn't you show this or that or whatever? And the reason is there's only so many hours that of airtime. Like, there's we can't show anything, because how do you, like, it has to tell a story and it has to make sense, and you can't just throw a bunch of things on. Okay, here it
is. You're basically taking 9 months of your life and narrowing it down to, it's 4 hours, eight episodes.
Exactly. Well, not 9 months. Was it six?
I mean, from the time we started. All right. Yeah. 6 months.
Yeah. But filming time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't put everything in there.
Meeting.
Oh yeah. From when we first started talking about it. Yeah.
You know, and we didn't know it was going to go, like, we didn't know. We just said, hey, we're going to do a documentary series on us, but we didn't know what it was going to entail necessarily. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So,
I mean, it was kind of like, well, we didn't want it to be, okay, we're going to set up these scenarios. Like, we wanted it to just be our life, and that's kind of just what it was. But that being said, there was a lot more life to us than what you saw, because that was only 4 hours worth of stuff.
Right. And the other thing that we can't do is we have microphones and we always have music playing in the house. And that kind of set the tone at our Connecticut house. We always have dance parties singing and we had Sonos speakers throughout the house in Connecticut, and we had microphones, and there's videos of us around the holidays, everybody's just getting up on the mics, and we could not do that because you have to get clearance for the music. So
that is, I feel like that in itself changes our whole house when the music is on. And like, how many times we would wrap like the be the end of the day and the film crew's leaving and we crank the music and they're like, oh, because they know they can't record that because of the music.
Right.
Such a bummer, because that is such a big part of our life. And the dance, and then the island, the kitchen island becomes the stage and the microphone, the whole thing. It's such a...
Yeah, even at whose... Was it Dixie's birthday?
Charlie?
Dixie's birthday at our house. Remember, we had the microphones. It wasn't on the show, but that was one time when we were...
Yeah. And then there's like people from Dixie's record label there that are all really good singers. So they're on the mic. Yeah. It was so fun. It's always a part of our life.
So
I'm the designated backup dancer. And I'm happy to be that.
You definitely are. So do you like having a publicist, and do you think PR is necessary?
I mean, I feel like if you want to grow and, you know, they have relationships with different outlets, depending on what you want to pursue. You know, for Dixie, fashion was important to her. And, you know, having a PR firm that has great relationships with the big fashion houses is important. So it's like, yeah, I do think to level up at a certain point, it is very important. And I also think, and you could tell more that this is like, there's two different kind of PR. Is one is kind of like what we have. And then there's another type when you're like crisis management.
Yeah.
So our PR firm doesn't really do little things like sometimes there's something comes out and it's just some outlet and they have to do a video or an article and that's just like straight up lies or whatever it is. And we're like, and they'll tend to like stuff like that. But
yeah, they tend to. So there is two things. There's the offensive publicist that's going out and kind of marketing you, because over the last year, Dixie and Charlie have been pretty popular. They are kind of fielding things more than actively going out and pursuing things. Really, on the crisis management side, there are other publicists that handle those kind of things. I mean, those are for when you're involved in someone's involved in a crime or something like that, or gets really. Our publicist just kind of looks at stuff as been there, done that, seen this before. Mm-hmm. It'll pass, because mm-hmm. most of the stuff that we have going on is, I mean, if you think about it, like, the controversy, the major controversy we had is Dixie ate a snail. Mm-hmm. I mean, we sit there and we take it to heart because we're so new at this mm-hmm. that it's tough when you're seeing all these negative things and you have a publicist and you're just like, fix it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, dude, this
it'll
isn't,
pass. It's, like, it's not worth it to put attention to it. And I think that they've been good at that. Like certain things, like don't bring any more attention to it by like addressing it. Although we want to like speak our mind and be like, oh no, why are you saying these things? This is awful. And they're like, just please don't say it. Just leave it alone.
Yeah, like, because there's two things that happen when you comment. One is you get the person to say, how many times have you saw this? I never thought you would see that. And the next thing out of their mouth is, I was just kidding. Mm-hmm. I never thought you'd see it. I was just kidding. I love you guys. That's the that's the one thing that happens all the time. Or if you respond to something, it just takes a life of its own. So I just shut it. I'm like, look, I could tell now what happens. If there's something that, if there's a comment or something and it starts to get some steam, I go, dude, this is the life we've chosen for whatever reason. And tomorrow there'll be another video out and I don't even worry about it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I say it's been a slow process. It's only been, has it been 2 years? And we're getting a little bit better about that stuff. But PR has definitely been helpful with that, because you feel like, you know, although it's four of us and we can bounce things off of each other, we're all new to this. So they've been doing this and with clients for years, and they see how, you know, there's really nothing that they're like, okay, this has never happened before. You know, they've pretty much seen it all and can kind of help us through all those things.
I agree to an extent, but I do think there are things where it used to just show up in like a negative story or hearsay would show up on page six in the post. Now it's instantaneous. It goes across TikTok, and we get to see it before they do. Like, they don't monitor
things
the way we monitor it, and especially like other people on our team. And we see the stuff first because we're early to it, because we're either on the app, and then we get to them, and then nine times out of 10, they're like, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And usually they're right.
But it was a hard decision to finally go through with getting PR. Remember, we were kind of at that crossroads, and our whole team was like, I mean, our team was kind of small at the time, but they were like, you should really do PR. You should really do PR. And we were just kind of like, we have so many, there's so much coming at us right now. We don't want, there's not enough hours in the day, to figure out all of that. But that was what they were great at, figuring it out and making it make sense. Like, there's certain things like, let's do this in this order, let's do this before we do that, because it'll lead to bigger things. So I think for that, but it's definitely, it's a cost, and it's, part of the business, and does it make sense? It's a hard decision to make to finally say, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. And I think to your point was what I said earlier, when I first hired a PR firm, it was to get me publicity. And I think what we were thinking about is, well, why would we hire someone now to get us publicity
where
we can't handle? I mean, we had all kinds of news outlets trying to talk to us. And we just, not that we were blowing them off, we just didn't have enough time in the day. So I didn't understand that part of it. But really let's kind of break it down the way I see it. So if you hire a publicist to kind of craft your business profile and what you're trying to do, whether you're a chef or whatever, that publicist will offensively reach out to food magazines and build stories that are all true. Just kind of craft your story and present it to media outlets. So that's one side of it. Two is kind of like where we are, where our publicists, we have a lot of people coming at us, and they kind of put it all, kind of figure out which ones make the most sense for us, and say, hey, Heidi, this you're doing X, Y, and Z. We think this outlet would be good for you. Mm-hmm. Connecting us with other podcasts, connecting us with other things. So that's kind of where we are. And then the third part of it would be to meet, basically kind of when things get tough or there's something out there, like we talked about earlier, they kind of handle a negative story or a false story and work through that and give you guidance, right?
Yeah.
We don't deal with, our publicist kind of handles all that for us. There are people that they would recommend if there was a crisis situation. They don't really handle crisis stuff.
Right. Yeah. Shout out to Kate and Nicole.
Yeah. I think for us in our world, it doesn't necessarily have to get into the New York Times or Newsweek. It actually mostly doesn't, but there are levels of when things start out where it starts out just as someone made a TikTok, and then it'll go to get to a T page, and then there'll be YouTube videos about it. So it almost gets, it's just the level, it doesn't have to get into mainstream news. It could get in YouTube, but overall, the overall eyes and people it touches could be way bigger than the New York Times circulation and never make it to the New York Times, because there's some things that I think newspapers and real media outlets have a standard. And if it's kind of hearsay or something like that, they won't go down that road. Whereas a kid who wants to do a YouTube video about whether some allegation about us is true or false, it could get legs. So I almost rather it go into a true news media outlet, because at least there's some checks and balances and there's some real journalism there, as opposed to it takes a viral type situation where it just goes and it's on TikTok and then on YouTube and then some other tea pages or other YouTube, quote unquote, media outlets get into it. Right. I mean, yeah. That's how it is for me.
Yeah.
Cause it could get a false story could get legs and
and
it'll never get on CNN, but it still gets as many views or as much
eyes on it.
Eyes on it.
And ears. Yeah. And I agree with that. But talking about other, you know, lining us up with other podcasts, how do you like going on other people's podcasts?
I like it.
Me too.
Because it's, depending on what kind of podcast it is, not depending whether I like it or not, there's certain things, like there was one I did that was about being a father, being a dad, and all dads go on that show, and that was really cool. You've been on podcasts that I think you actually love the people that have asked you to be on their podcasts, and we've built relationships with them, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's so weird. Not weird. It's great. Like, people, a lot of times it's people I've already followed or at least knew about, and then so to get to know them, it's just kind of like a fun little chat session. And then it just happens to be being recorded, or some of them are filmed. And, but we all stay in touch, and I follow their stories and their family life and different things like that. So it's been really nice to connect with these, mostly for the ones that I've done solo without you, I think pretty much all women. And it's just been really cool and kind of seeing their journeys and learning from them, because I'm always trying to always learn something from everyone. So it's been great for me to get in front of other audiences, but also just personally, I'm getting to meet these women that are doing cool things and learning from. So that's been, I really like going on other podcasts
too. I was on the Token CEO podcast with Erica.
That was great.
And she and I were friends prior to going on it. And she kind of has seen our whole journey. I want to do more podcasts in the area of things that I like, or I know about, with the stuff around clothing or sports license or license business and things where I do find it a little, not strange. I just don't want to necessarily go on a podcast because because our kids are famous. I want to give something to the audience and I would totally go on a podcast if they were talking about kind of what we talk about, giving people guidance on social media, as on certain things I've grown to be an expert in. And I think as we go down this journey, we are starting to become not an authority, but we definitely have a good knowledge base of how to navigate through this, which is so new. So I like talking about stuff like that, that's actually could help other people, but I would love to get more involved in business type podcasts around what I do on a daily basis, because I still do have a day job.
Yes, you do. You know who is my newest favorite podcast?
Tell me.
I think you've seen it, because I sent you something.
Drum roll.
Colin and Samir.
Yes.
Love their podcast. Shout out to them. I would love to be on there. If you're getting into this social media business, you should watch their podcast. So much great information. And it's interesting because they did a whole piece on our show. Was it on this show?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I found it interesting and very accurate for never having met them. And I feel like they're very smart when it comes to social media and growing. And so.
And they didn't. What was cool about it is they gave a true depiction of their opinion on it. And it wasn't overly positive. Like I'm not sitting there going, oh man, I love those guys because they say great stuff about us. Yep. I just thought their thought process was really well thought. It was well thought out and smart the way they handle things. And I've watched and listened to a couple others of them.
Yeah. I just think they're very, they're not there to praise or bash. They're just telling, like, based off of their knowledge of social media and how it works, like their opinion. And I think they do a really good job of, you know, telling that story of whoever it is they're talking about. So anyway, that would be one I would like to be on. Was there one you would like to be on? Like specifically?
Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Might as well go for the...
Yes, he's like the Holy Grail, right? Yeah, he seems so intense though. I don't know if I could do his. He seems like a little scary for me.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, we've always listened to him and watched his stuff. So I do like him. I remember, do you remember that show he was on?
Fear Factor?
No, I'm going way back. It was an office show.
No.
It was a show. It was like a comedy TV based in an office. I can't even remember the name of it, but I used to love him on that.
Really?
He was like,
and then we used to watch Fear Factor all the time.
Yes. Yes.
So I think that as you're coming up, I think that press is really important because as you're trying to build your brand, it definitely gives you, it gets you out. It's good because it gets your name out there, but you also have a second pair of eyes. Sometimes you can't internalize what you're doing right and what you can't look at yourself honestly and look at what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. And sometimes it takes another person who has the experience who actually does this for a living to sit there and say, wow, do you know this aspect of your career or what you're doing is really interesting? Let's focus on that. And the person might look at it and say, wait, what are you, that's easy for me. And we're like, no, that's what you should be talking about.
Wait, I have a question. So when you were a small business owner back in the day when you had started your clothing company, and I mean, you know, it was expensive, and to like running a business is expensive, and trying to get your name out there and grow. So how do you even like make that decision to add that to your budget to like, it's like you need like to, you know, to grow and to make more money and to run your business. You need it, but how do you work it in?
Yeah, I mean, I'll even give you the math on it. It was, so the ways to get your brand out there, this was before, let's say you have your website and all your socials and you have a photographer and all that. But before all of that, you had an option was to buy advertising, right? And so you would go to a magazine and say, hey, how much for a full page ad? And it could be anywhere from the magazines we were dealing with, from $15,000 for an ad for a full page color to, you know, there are some that I remember being $250,000. And we were competing with these companies who had that ability. So this other way you get into a magazine is through editorial, working with telling a story, and that's where the publicist came in. So you can do the math pretty quickly and say, all right, well, we don't have $100,000 a month to spend on advertising, but we have $5,000 a month. How do we, and that's basically what I did. And that publicist ended up going out there and getting me into those magazines from an editorial side, not from an advertising side. And then once they did some editorial on you, you'd get somebody from advertising sales will hit you up and say, oh, I just saw that. That's a great article. And we're like, nope, we're still broke. We can't do that ad. But let's.
Oh, they wanted you to buy advertising space. Got it. So fast forward to now, right? I mean, obviously with social media and collabing with other people, bigger creators, this, that, like, I feel like you could prolong PR, but there is a point. I think if people aren't sure, am I at a point? Like, I don't know. I feel like it almost is obvious when you're in that position. Like, you're not leveling up, right? You've collaborated with lots of big people, people that are bigger than you, people in different audiences, whether it's podcast or, you know, YouTube or whatever, you've kind of exhausted all your efforts and you're still at that same level, I think that's when it's time for PR, and then they can like kind of help you level up from there.
I look at it the other way. I think that once you have, where you're in a situation where people want to collab with you and brands are looking at you, I think you're off to the races. What I would look at is doing it earlier on to get you into a bigger publication or to get you some recognition out there, because then all of a sudden then you could take that article from XYZ magazine or XYZ blog or website, and then you tweet it, and then all of a sudden you can tag people in it, and you start to build your own brand
earlier. I see.
That's the way I would.
I mean, I guess it's just if you could afford it or not.
Yeah, and then you have to. But I mean, that's a hard conversation you could have with not even a hard conversation. That's a conversation you have with a publicist, and just say, hey, look, right now, this is where I am, mm-hmm. and what's your rate? And maybe you can negotiate something where you pay a certain rate for 6 months, or you sign a longer deal. Let's say instead of a month to month, you go 6 months, mm-hmm. and then after 6 months, if you attain these certain criteria or these certain milestones, then you extend it. And I think, you know, those are some ways you can do it. But I do think having professional eyes from a public relations standpoint is important.
Yeah, because I think when you're early on and you're trying to grow, like you might align with brands that, not that it's bad, it's just not the direction you want your brand to be going in. And sometimes it's hard to undo that, I guess, right?
Yeah.
You know? And then the other thing, do you want to talk about your publicist and how you've, from what year was that?
Yeah, so that was probably, 2003. I think we said we almost met. We've been together. We knew each other for 20 years. So I ended up getting a publicist who was a newer firm at the time called 5WPR. And the owner's name was Ron, and he had just started his company, and we had, it was extremely helpful with my clothing brand. He had a great team around us. Tracy was a woman who was my lead publicist, and I did that for a few years, and we got our name out there, and then I stopped with a publicist at that point. So then last month we were in New York City, and I'm still, I don't talk with Ron that often, but I follow him still on social media and we're Facebook friends, and we ran into each other in New York City, and he has daughters who knew who Dixie Charlie was. And he was just so excited and happy. He was like, I've been following you. And then he told me where Tracy's working now. And we had a reunion, and it was so funny that he couldn't believe where we are. And I was just as excited about him. So Ron and 5WPR, he's mentioned in the New York Post constantly as being PR guru, is really? Like, and he's in page six in the New York Post all the time. So really good guy, and was very instrumental in helping me craft my message, my clothing brand's message. And so cool that we met him again a month ago in New York City.
And then you talked with Tracy, right?
Yes. So and then he connected me back on a text with Tracy. So it was really cool. That's love the fact that I have tried to do a good job maintaining relationships with people that I've worked with throughout the years, and people that have worked with me through my clothing brand, Mad Soul. I mean, Greg Keller, who has been a good friend of mine for 20 years, he's out in LA now. So we connect. So I'm a big believer in not burning bridges, not ending relationships poorly. And even something like that, like with PR, you might not need PR forever, but we ended the relationship in a way where I was just like, hey man, thanks for all your help. We're going in this direction. I think we're good getting our story out there. People know who we are. And that was it. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Did you ever have a publicist?
No. For what? I wasn't that big to do anything. I mean, I was modeling, but no, I didn't have a publicist.
Did you have an agent?
Yeah, I had an agent. Yeah. I had, well, I had an agency that I worked with in Louisiana. We had a location in Lafayette and in New Orleans. So we'd work between there, but then regionally we would work. And then when I moved to New York, I wasn't signed with like one agency exclusively. I had one that was more of like a sports, you know, I worked out. I had like more of an athletic like build. Yeah.
Athletic
so
agent.
They did that for me. And then other ones were just covered other things, just more like commercial look type stuff. And so I worked with three, but they were all really great and they had good teams with them. And so I never needed to go outside of that. Like between the three of them, they were all really good. So, yeah.
Great. You know what I think was what we should do with the show, because I do like this format of telling people, and shout out to our producers who thought about the idea to talk about public relations. I do think it's interesting to tell the story on all the other people that we work with. Like, do you need a, like, I didn't know 18 months ago, I didn't know what the difference between a manager and an agent is.
Yes, I remember having that conversation.
Should you have a business manager? Should you have an attorney?
Mm-hmm.
What do those fees look like? Mm-hmm. You know, I've always been directing kind of the young people that I work with. Because what you'll hear a lot is, I'm not going to pay a manager 10%, but 10% of nothing is nothing. And mm-hmm. I think you got to look at where we get into a situation where we have to pay an attorney, a business manager, all these people. But as they grow the pie 3-4 times, mm-hmm. those fees don't become as big of a deal.
Right.
And I think if we just kind of outline all those things, it'll be really interesting.
And a lot of agencies have everything there that you need. So you're not going outside to get an attorney or whatever. They have people in-house. So,
yeah.
You know, it might be, yeah, but we could talk more in detail about that next time.
Yeah, I think because we were just kind of talking about us learning this business under fire. And I feel like I've been doing this as long as I've been doing the clothing business, and I've been in the clothing business for 30 years. We've just learned so much so quickly, made a lot of mistakes, but I think we've done a lot of things really, really good. I do think my business experience prior to this helped out
a lot. Sure.
Just because with the clothing business, I always try to figure things out on my own. And with this business, I was like, all right, I'm going to learn this, but I'm not going to learn it overnight. So what do we need? And then I asked so many questions, and mm-hmm. I relied less on myself trying to do it on my own and more mm-hmm. being a sponge and talking and saying.
But you, like, the common thing is for, you know, for your brands that you had in as far as clothing and your sales agency, like, you knew you understood that world of branding and, you know, what it takes and what you need, like, what are the things? And some things are just like, maybe the next person might be like, oh, what's the point of that? It's just like to look, you know, like a logo, like
right.
a personal logo, like that's your thing. Why not do it? It's part of the story, you know, and it becomes like recognizable to you. And over time, it's going to be so important. And so it's those little things that you were always good at, even when the girls started all this. So
I think I would look at it as building a building, right? Like, and I think why we've been successful is we didn't know whether we're building a two-story house or a skyscraper, but we knew that wherever we're going up, we should have a strong foundation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I think my business experience and my brand experience said, okay, let's get an LLC put together. Let's get mm-hmm. Let's make separate corporations. Let's put logos together. Let's get, you know, let's make sure we have all of our URLs together. Like all those things built a strong foundation so we could go up and let's talk about that could be a great topic, like how to get this started.
And when you were just saying, like, for someone that's just starting out, whether it's just business or social media, which to me they're intertwined, is you don't have the money, right? But there's always a place, you know, even if you're in college, there's going to be a film department. Like, right. That's, you know, and then you tag them, they tag you, you know, you get the work, they get a tag, and then you grow together. You never know where that relationship could end up.
Absolutely.
So it's like all those little things that I think it's hard to even figure out when you're starting, but this everything is closer to you than you think it is.
And we documented I think what's cool what we did looking back on it is we documented the journey. Because so I remember posting TikTok videos of when Travis first did Dixie's logo and then Charlie's logo. We actually made, so it almost brought people into like how we were creating
the BTS,
this behind the scenes of, and it wasn't to be like, hey, we're geniuses. It was more like, hey, this is what we're doing. What do you guys think? Do you like it? Is it cool? And
no, but that comes with your 30 years of business experience and starting brands and businesses. And that's how you start all of them is that way. And you did it. It was the exact same thing. Like that was just part of the deal. Like that's just how your mind works with everything, you know, let's brand it properly. Start from the ground up.
Yeah.
So good job, babe.
Oh, thanks, hon. I appreciate it.
Thanks to Align PR and Kate Nicole. We love you guys. They're our PR team and they're always super, super great people and great to work with.
Yes. But Kate is not a stylist because there was
Kate Bailey.
A lot of conversation on TikTok that, people thought Kate Bailey was actually a stylist, but she's our publicist.
Wait, and the girl said, it's just weird. She doesn't post on her Instagram and she's a stylist. I just find that weird to me. And the funny thing is Kate Bailey, first of all, she's beautiful. She has every aesthetic picture in her camera roll. She does stories, but she hasn't posted on Instagram in a year or something like that. And so this girl thinks she's a stylist. She hasn't posted in a year.
But I love how the girl came back and just was like, I can't believe I could have just searched it. And she was just like, because it made, she just seemed like really down to earth. And I thought it was super cool that
she came back around. And was like, wait a minute. Because people in the comments, I think, were saying, that's what's tough. It's like, you know, we deal with that. You know, you say something and thinking whatever, like, and just in the moment, and the fact was wrong. And so, it's already out there. Like, you know, so even for her in her account, and she was feeling the heat. And so she went back and said what it really was. So, right. So it was funny.
So cool, man. Well, that is the end of this really, really nice episode, Heidi. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Here. You're great.
Thanks. I'm Mark D'Amelio, and you can follow me at Mark D'Amelio on most of my socials.
And you can follow me at Heidi D'Amelio. And thanks for listening.
Bye, everyone. Have a great day.
Bye.
Mark and Heidi, the other D'Amelios, comes to you from Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio.
You can listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.